Greg and Dan show on WMBD. Greg Batten, Dan DiOrio, 740. Nice looking weekend. We might get a little sprinkle or two throughout the weekend. That's okay.
Not till Sunday. Yeah. Sunday into Monday.
Tomorrow's going to be beautiful. Yeah. Sunny, breezy, and 81.
Be a little more than breezy.
Okay, real breezy.
Yeah.
How about super breezy?
Yeah.
Ambrose McCall's our friend. He's on the line. Hey, Ambrose.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Dan.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Ambrose, a number of years ago, started helping us understand the legal aspects of social media items in the news. Big case that hit the Supreme Court on Wednesday. I'll let you set it up, Ambrose. What? Tell us about that.
Well, it was an exciting day Wednesday for those who work in this area. Mahanoy Schools versus BL was argued to the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday. 2 hours of arguments, which anyone can listen to on C-SPAN. And during those arguments, the question that was presented to the court was whether under a 1969 U.S. Supreme Court known as Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District, could the Mahanoy School District in Pennsylvania regulate speech that occurred off campus if the school district established that such speech materially and substantially disrupted the work and discipline of the school. In Mahanoy, the then 14-year-old student went on Snapchat and made a post that included four uses of the F-bomb word about the school, about her cheer team. She was on the junior varsity, tried out for the varsity, didn't make it. About the softball team, she was also disfavored as far as a position selection, and then about everything. So it was kind of a classic teenage student rant. Now, she posted this during the weekend, not during school hours, not during a school-sponsored event, and actually did it from a convenience store located in the Mahanoy School District. Social media working as it does, she has about 250 friends. The post gets circulated, including to the daughter of the cheer coach. So needless to say, the cheer coach gets it, sees it. School district reacts, suspends her from the cheer team for a year. The cheerleader and her parents go to court. She gets reinstated by an injunction. They win at the trial court level in federal court. It goes up to the Third Circuit. She wins again at the Third Circuit because the Third Circuit says, look, school district, you cannot regulate student speech in the way you're doing off school campus. So now we're at the U.S. Supreme Court because of the social media world. How does a school district react to social media rants of the type that this student conducted?
I believe, wasn't it early on, one of the key words in the Tinker case was disruption. As long as it doesn't disrupt anything in the school, speech was protected?
Well, it has to materially and substantially disrupt the schoolwork or invade the interests of a child who's a student who wants to be let alone. And to show we were made of, stiffer stuff back then, Tinker was decided in 1969, but the actual facts occurred in 1965. The Vietnam War hadn't occurred very long, and a 13-year-old and her 15-year-old brother and one of their friends decided to wear black armbands at school, and the black armbands weren't in opposition to the war itself. What it was doing was protesting the number of soldiers. By that point, 2,000-plus already had died, and it was in support of a Christmas truce. The community did not react well to that. They went to the school board. They wanted the emergency rule. And Tinker was actually suspended from school, not an extracurricular activity.
Holy smokes.
So it was
That's amazing.
Times back then.
Yeah, no kidding. The part that strikes me so interesting, Ambrose, on this now, especially in comparison to the Tinker case, is now when a person goes on to Snapchat or any other social media platform, it is not... their words and actions are not in the privacy of their home. And so I heard a lot of people talk about this case, this week's case. It's like, well, we're trying to tell kids that they can't say what they want to say at home. That wasn't home. You spoke that on a world platform. The social media is still a world platform, even if you only have to people that are your friends. The platform is still worldwide, at least the way I look at it. Is that going to be considered, do you think?
Yes and no. What I sensed in the justice's reaction ran the full range. You had Justice Breyer, who basically dismissed what the school district was doing, saying, well, look, if you start policing student cursing, you'll be doing nothing but punishing for the rest of your days and time.
Right.
So, you know, there was that reaction to it. There was Justice Thomas saying, what's different may be social media. And what surprised me were that none of the lawyers said, well, yes and no, because, yes, you post off campus on social media and can see it at the school. But a student could also publish a student op-ed piece in the Peoria Journal Star.
Sure.
That's off campus, and a student could read it at school. And the student's off campus opinion editorial piece is protected.
But what about the fact that 25 or 26 states passed a law to prevent cyberbullying, and I think kind of gave the nod to school districts to go on to Facebook and everything, and if they see any sort of cyberbullying or harmful bullying or anything about another student, then they have the right to pull that student in. Is that up at stake here?
Well, I think what's happened, and it's interesting you bring that up, Dan, maybe some people in a different field of work call mission creep. Because the laws that were passed were to prevent student violence and to prevent severe pervasive physical conduct or bullying, whether written, electronic, verbally demonstrated towards a student. But the idea was to focus it occurring at the school. Now, if evidence came out during an investigation that somebody was doing something on social media, then they would look at it. Because the other way to look at this is, let's flip the script. If the school districts are given this license to troll off campus and review what's going on online, do they really want to do that? Because are they picking up an obligation maybe unintentionally and checking on all these? And then the other part of this is, lest we forget, a lot of the incredible social movements that have occurred during the past 50 to 60 years were started by high school students. You know, it's not just Greta Thunberg with the environment. The students who got Black Lives Matter going and other movements here, often you find out, originally it was a social media post by a high school kid who filmed George Floyd, a high school kid. So, you know, that's the other thing we have to keep in mind is how much good stuff would we exclude if we said, well, let's only focus on the bad stuff in social media. And then the other part of it is, which wasn't brought up during the oral arguments that I could find, were points along the lines of, just as a society, you know, we criticize certain countries out there because they surveil their populace, you know, obsessively so through social media and otherwise. Do we really want schools doing that with students? Because students are not employees. They're students at a public government sponsored school, one of its public school. So I would think a lot of coaches will get more creative with discipline rather than just a barring student from a participation in team in a year, you know, whether it's picking up the trash after a game, other things that used to be done back in the day.
And,
students usually wouldn't want to tell their parents about it or their friends. And, it, you know, they're done in a day, or that they have to apologize to the team, things of that sort.
Well, this is going to be interesting to see, and really the reason we're hot on it is this is going to have an impact on our kids and on schools. Whatever they end up deciding here is going to have some fingers to it, and we'll follow that as it goes. We're out of time today. Ambrose, have a great weekend, sir. We always appreciate your time.
Thank you both. You have a great weekend, too.